Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, smiles and handshakes between rivals followed the re-election of Om Birla as Lok Sabha Speaker today. The rare moment of bonhomie was, however, short-lived, and chaos returned after the newly elected Speaker mentioned the dark days of emergency and called for 2 minute silence. Opposition leaders also congratulated the Speaker but added a sharp message that the opposition must be allowed to speak as they too represent the voice of the people. Rahul Gandhi, now leader of the opposition, has a key role to play, a massive one besides anything else. He'll participate in the appointment process for key officials such as the CBI director, the chief election commissioners, the National Human Rights Commission chairperson and the chief vigilance commissioner. He has a cabinet rank. On the show tonight, a showdown over the Speaker's remarks on the emergency. Have the Parliament battle lines been drawn? All the developments in Parliament today. India's got the Speaker election done. It is Om Birla who is back. There were moments of kindness, of bonhomie, of Rahul Gandhi shaking the Prime Minister's hand. But then there was a reference to emergency once again, this time by the Speaker, which resulted once again in some sharp exchanges in Parliament.
The image of the day, the Prime Minister and the new leader of opposition, Rahul Gandhi, shaking hands as they welcomed Om Birla as the Lok Sabha Speaker for the second term.
I invite Sri Om Birla to come up and occupy the chair.
After over three decades, the country witnessed a contest for the Speaker's post. But the conclusion was foregone. An NDA candidate, Om Birla, was re-elected through a voice vote. Though the NDA was confident of its numbers, it had reached out to MPs of smaller parties to expand its support base from 293 MPs to 307. The motion for the Speaker was moved by Prime Minister Modi himself and seconded by others in the NDA. He showered praises on Birla, a three-term MP from Rajasthan's Kota, saying he was an inspiration to many young parliamentarians.
Is asan par virajman ho rahe hain ki aap aane wale 5 saal hum sab ka margdarshan bhi karenge aapke chehre ko ye meethi meethi muskan pure sadan ko bhi prasanna rakhti hai.
I'd like to congratulate you.
But it is what opposition MPs said that gave a glimpse into what the parliament sessions in the near future could look like.
It is very important that the voice of the opposition is allowed to be represented in this house. The opposition also represents the voice of India's people.
Aap loktantrik nyay ke mukhya nyayadhish ki tarah baithe hain. हम सब की आपसे अपेक्षा है कि किसी भी जनप्रतिनिधि की आवाज दबाई न जाए.
Minutes after Birla was re-elected, a resolution against the emergency was passed, with the speaker saying it was a setback to Indian democracy.
इमरजेंसी के दौरान भारत के नागरिकों के अधिकार नष्ट कर दिए गए, नागरिकों से उनकी आजादी छीन ली गई. ये वह दौर था जब विपक्षी नेताओं को जेल में बंद कर दिया गया. इमरजेंसी का वह समय हमारे देश के इतिहास में अन्याय काल का एक काला खंड था.
This led to protests from the opposition.
It's rather unfortunate, it seems to me, that the speaker himself has ended up undermining that spirit with a very divisive statement about the emergency, which frankly was not necessary. It was 49 years ago.
समाजवादी नेता और समाजवादी उस समय के जितने जनता पार्टी या तमाम नेताओं ने भी उस समय को देखा, लेकिन हम पीछे मुड़के कितना देखें, हम पास्ट को कितना देखें.
यही लोकसभा अध्यक्ष है जो एक झटके में 100 से ज्यादा सांसदों को निलंबित कर दिया.
BJP leaders spoke about the resolution, describing the emergency as the darkest chapter in Indian history.
Cabinet rectified on the morning of 26 June 1975. That is why today we passed the resolution in the House that such trampling of such a demolition of the Constitution will not be allowed again. So we have taken a resolution.
Today was also the day Rahul Gandhi took over his first constitutional post. He is the third member of the Gandhi family to become the leader of opposition after Sonia and Rajiv Gandhi. With Vasudha Venugopal, Maria Shakil and Sunil Prabhu, Bureau Report, NDTV.
All right, so the focus, and it will remain the focus for the next several days, how is this session of Parliament going to be? Is it going to be feisty? Will there be great debates, as some in the opposition have promised? Or is there going to be a complete breakdown given the strength of the opposition this time? Will they be opposing everything that the government tries to do? Joining us now, Nalin Kohli of the BJP, Zainab Sikandar of the Rashtriya Lok Dal, Sajjan Kumar, the political analyst, Neerja Chaudhary, as well, Dr. Shaba Mohammed of the Congress joins us momentarily, and Riju Datta of the Trinamool Congress. Nalin, let me come to you first. Was it really necessary for the Speaker to bring up the entire issue of the emergency at a time when the government, or even the Speaker himself, has focused on consensus? It may be an important issue, but in the context of today, when you're looking at a conciliatory environment, was this not a divisive statement?
How do you call a historical fact a day after 25th June when emergency was imposed as a divisive factor? It wasn't named against any political party. I heard the statement. There is nothing specific about any individual, but should emergency, which was invoked at that time, should it be ever invoked in this country? And therefore, should we not learn from it? I think the message was not individual-centric. It was the occasion which demanded a comment. Would you wipe it away? So my question would be, if this is the approach, then why talk about World War I, World War II? Why the First Battle of Panipat, the Second Battle of Panipat, 1857? So, I mean, just because we have uncomfortable questions doesn't mean you wipe away historical events which are factual. And as a student of history, I see nothing wrong with that. Now, if it were named against an individual, if it was named against a political party, I may have, you know, had reason to say, okay, this is going to cause a sort of a reaction. But if you are naming the event and you're just saying we must strengthen democracy while you are in parliament by the speaker, this is the temple of democracy. Those who've taken the oath of constitution, which is every member of parliament there. I mean, how can you say that we will not speak about, we would like to see another day like this? Let me put it in a different way. So you're remembering it so that another day like that never comes.
All right. Riju Datta, respond to that.
Vishnu, the emergency was a black day. In Mr. Indira Gandhi imposed a 21-month emergency. Then she held the elections. She accepted the verdict and that was that. Post-2014, we are going through an undeclared emergency in this country. Have we forgotten how the black farm laws were bulldozed and passed by brute majority, where my leader of Rajya Sabha, Derek O'Brien, was thrown out of the parliament over the shoulders of marshals. 300 questions struck off from the parliament, 146 MPs suspended, the microphones muted of the opposition leaders who are standing up to speak and asking tough questions to the treasury benches. What are they talking about? Nalinji was, he's an erudite speaker and he's a student of history and he's talking about history. It is his party who's hell-bent on changing the history of this country. If you want to talk about emergency Panipat, why are you removing the demolition of Babri Masjid from the textbooks? Why are you removing the Mughals from the textbooks? So it is hypocrisy one-on-one. Bottom line is we wanted a non-partisan speaker this time because the opposition is strong. The parliament belongs to the opposition, where the opposition can ask tough questions on the behalf of the citizens of this country to the ruling dispensation. And they want to bulldoze it. Here also, today also, in the speaker's election also, Vishnu, even though many multiple MPs asked for a division, which would have shown the actual numbers that BJP had, they went for a voice vote.
Riju, you used the word non-partisan in describing the speaker, Om Birla. Is that the position of your party, that he's biased?
I will only say this. There should have been a division today. The numbers would have come out. BJP do not have the numbers. They are running an unethical, immoral, unconstitutional government. The people of this country have shown the door to them and the door will be shown to them very soon. My question is this. Why the voice vote? Get the numbers out in the open. If you had the numbers, why all your senior leaders from Rajnath ji to Nadda ji,
but
to
was
Amitra,
there ever any doubt that, they had the numbers?
I mean, to the opposition, why?
The opposition, some would suggest, and Shama, correct me if I'm wrong, were essentially making a point. You all knew that you didn't have the numbers. You were trying to prove a point. So in terms of pushing for a vote, was it at all necessary?
Very importantly, we came in this thinking this would be this session would be different from the last 10 years. We were ready to accept the speaker's position, whoever they wanted the speaker. I mean, Om Birla is none of our favorite. We know how he suspended 146 members of parliament. And 99, when those parliamentarians questioned him on what happened, how did people get into the parliament, you know, which has never happened before. It happened when terrorists attacked us in 2002. But after that, it was the next one. Nobody was convicted, no punishment, nothing. Pratap Simha, we don't know where he is right now. He wasn't available at that point of time. So, okay, they said we want Om Birla. All right, we accept it. But we had one thing, condition, like the constitution of our country says, we wanted the deputy speaker also. According to Article 93 of the Constitution, you have to put out the speaker and the deputy speaker at the same time. 2019 to 24, we did not have a deputy speaker. The Supreme Court of India in 2023 questioned this government. It's asking, where is the deputy speaker? And if you don't have one, it's unconstitutional. So I don't know why they wanted to start on a bad note. They could have given the deputy speaker. And let me tell you, even in 2019, 2004, 2009, even during Vajpayee's time, it was a congressman who was Mr. Syed, who was a deputy speaker. During our time, we have had from the Akali Dal in 2004 and in 2009, Marandi from the BJP. So we have, you know, that's how a democracy functions. Now, a simple question to Nalin is one, why don't you just agree to a deputy speaker? Why be so confrontational on when a new parliament session is starting?
And okay, let's get an answer to that.
Why bring the emergency? Why bring the emergency? Let's start with NEET. NEET is the most important issue right now. You just want to get it and you want to make a confrontational situation every time. The Prime Minister of India has not learned.
Let's get a response to that.
He's got 303. That is the issue.
I'll come back to you in a moment. Zainab Sikandar, would you like to take on that question? Why not grant the opposition, and I'll come to you, Nalin, as well. Why not grant the opposition the post of deputy speaker? Why say that that's a decision independent of the decision on speaker?
That is a decision that is independent of, choosing the speaker.
But if you're talking about consensus in parliament, if the post of speaker has gone to Mr. Birla, then what's the problem about, the deputy speaker's post going to what the opposition seeks? They have a very large presence in parliament.
Absolutely, they do have a large presence in parliament, and hopefully this matter will be resolved. But right now the question in hand is that why was the emergency evoked? And I hope that we stick to that topic, because I think deputy speaker
is also an issue that needs to be discussed. Emergency was one theme. This was certainly another theme which was discussed. There were others as well. So my question to you is on this.
I think Nalin ji is more equipped to answer that.
Nalin, would you like to take on that question?
Of course, I would like to take that out.
Why is Nalin answering when you've asked a question to RLD? Is RLD not able to answer a question?
She said that Nalin is more equipped.
I can.
She was forthright enough in saying that.
I wasn't given to the BJP. It's like the small brother saying, Big brother, please answer for me. I can't answer.
Not at all. Not at all, Shamaji.
I feel... I've been on so many days, the small sister is telling the big brother...
No, but Shama, if she has requested Nalin to answer a question, what's wrong with that?
No, I'll answer it now. Now that Shamaji is insisting so much...
What will happen if they will be kicked out of the government? Or if Mr...
So let's get to that scenario in the absence of that. Everybody, hold your horses. Nalin, answer the question.
Can I say something?
Shama,
can I say something?
Zainab, now you missed your chance. You passed the buck. So now Nalin will answer. Go ahead, Nalin.
So, getting back to the serious discussion, I think, the idea is, can you not give the deputy speaker, which was the exact words used by Shama Mohammed, give it, it's like a lollipop, please give it. So let's now look at states ruled by...
I said a point.
Let's pick up Aam Aadmi Party's Delhi and Punjab. The speaker, deputy speaker in both states are from the Aam Aadmi Party. Let's pick up Karnataka, Congress. The speaker, deputy speaker, both are from the Congress. Let's pick up DMK in Tamil Nadu. The speaker, deputy speaker, both are from the DMK. Let's pick up Trinamool Congress. The Speaker and the Deputy Speaker in West Bengal are from the Trinamool Congress. There is no such practice. They've never had such a practice. It's a manufactured convention that they want to have. Give it to us. It was the same argument that was used. Give us the leader of opposition when they had to have 10% of the number of house people, number of seats in the house. So I think the point here is the politics of entitlement comes in family-based parties. That I'm the top boss here. I can then decide and say, give it, don't give it. In convention-driven systems or rules-driven systems, you have to point out, and I say this as a lawyer, please point me out either the rule position that says that the deputy speaker must be from the opposition, or show me the convention that
but
is.
But why have a rule position, Dalin? Why not? Why must you throw the rule book on something when you're talking about consensus?
So let me put it.
I'm sure you're
way.
On legal. Legally, yes. You must be sound in what you're saying. But if
so
they're saying that, let's be fair. What's wrong with
it's
that?
It's an English. It's an English phrase that has value. It takes two to tango. So let me now look at the argument given by Riju as also Shamaji. Both of them, is that 146 people removed, etc., etc. I remember there was a three-day debate. The Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, heard everyone. When he stood up to speak, there was only sloganing. There was no sloganing from the BJP or Treasury's benches on an important issue. So I think when people want to set standards, they have to also set it themselves. You can't be the change you wish to see in the world. That's what Mahatma Gandhi said. So, I mean, to put it bluntly, if there's inspiration to be taken by the Congress Party from Mahatma Gandhi, which they use at the drop of a hat when it suits them, and when it suits them is the Nehru-Gandhi family. So, I mean, then perhaps they would like to show that they have the standards that they want others to emulate.
Can I come in? So, I want to ask Nalin one thing. 2014 to 19, you had a deputy speaker. Suddenly, you felt we don't want a deputy speaker. So, you can just do what you want. That is what it says, clearly, isn't it? I mean, when you talk about seats, go to court. Supreme Court has said in 2023, why is there no deputy speaker in the parliament? Go to court and ask the Supreme Court for this also. Then we'll get it done. Why did the Supreme Court say in 2023, the exact words of the Supreme Court is it's unconstitutional. Okay. We have had a convention of having always deputy speakers.
Okay, Shabha, half a second. I just want to move on because I'm running short on time.
You may wish to read Article 93.
All right, hold on. I wanted to go across to Nija and Sajjan who've been waiting patiently. Nija, there is another important part of what has happened in Parliament today. Rahul Gandhi as leader of the opposition, an absolutely critical post, which means that he is going to have a say in the appointment of several key posts, the CBI director, the chief election commissioner, many other posts as well. This is significant and by itself a victory for the opposition, right? But it does require consensus and that needs to come from him as well.
Are you asking me?
Yes, Nija, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I think Rahul Gandhi taking the responsibility to be the leader of the opposition is a very welcome step because he was making the decisions for the Congress party. Now he will be leading from up front and being accountable for whatever actions that are taken. And I think he's added to his stature by this decision. I think people have looked upon it favorably. He will obviously also be the leader of the India bloc. In Lok Sabha. Now, all eyes will be on how Rahul Gandhi, who is not, at least many people in his party have accused him of not being accessible, available. Now, he will have to be that. He will have to deal with business advisory committee. He'll have to be on the committees to select the CVC, CBI, many of the other officials. And he'll have to work with the Prime Minister, with the Home Minister possibly, and also keep everybody on their toes. Keep the India bloc together in Parliament. So all eyes will be on him to see how he performs that role and leads from up front. Just one word I want to say, Vishnu, if you allow me on the emergency.
Yes, please, go ahead.
What is wrong? There is nothing wrong to talk about the emergency at the dark chapter that was. For those of us who lived through it, those of us who suffered press censorship, who saw opposition leaders being jailed, who saw the constitution being mauled. I think it's a dark chapter and we should remember it so that it's not done in the future, whether it's the ruling party today or the Congress and the opposition who are in the opposition today. And I think the Congress should not fight shy of saying, yes, it was wrong. But after all, Indira Gandhi did declare elections in 1977. She need not have done that. And it was a fair and free election because otherwise she would not have been routed. But what it represented, I don't see why we should not observe an anniversary of that period to remind ourselves.
All right, Shama, would you like to respond? Let's not forget about the emergency, irrespective of what you're saying. Shama, you were mute.
Yeah, I got it.
And we didn't do that. That was your fault.
No. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi has also accepted that it was not the right thing. 1984, we have said in Parliament, Manmohan Singh Ji, it was wrong. He has apologized. Even Mrs. Gandhi said it was not the right thing. I want to know, for 2002, who has taken responsibility? Has anybody apologized? We have to apologize all the time. We have to admit everything. I want to know today, I want to ask Nalin Kohli, did the Prime Minister of Gujarat apologize for 2002? Why nobody speaks of 84? They always ask us. They keep talking, yes, we have apologized for it. Manmohan Singh Ji did it in Parliament. And also, Mrs. Sonia Gandhi said she had her regrets for it. I have my regrets for 1984. I want to know who has apologized for 2002. Has anybody said a word on it? So it works both ways. It's that they can do whatever they want. 700 farmers died. Narendra Modi kept quiet. Manipur is burning. More than 150 people have died there. The Prime Minister of India has not stepped into that place. My leader walked more than 4,000 kilometers. Then he did a Bharat Jodo Nyayatra saying, I will start my yatra only from Manipur. That is a leader who feels for the people. I want to know why Mr. Modi has said not a single word on what has happened. Biren Singh, even now murders are happening. Even now a lot of problems are there. Biren Singh should be kicked out, but he's still there.
Okay.
What is happening? There is an undeclared emergency in the last 10 years. How many of the journalists have had UAPA? How many opposition members, opposition leaders are behind bars or are investigated? During our time, let me tell you, when the Commonwealth issue was there, we are the ones who arrested Suresh Kalmadi and put him behind bars, not the Bharatiya Janata Party. Whereas rules are the same for everybody.
Okay, all right.
Even after 2004,
okay, I get the point you're saying.
The opposition gets behind bars.
I just need to start wrapping this up. I wanted to go across to Sajjan, who's been waiting very patiently. What is your reading of what's happened in Parliament so far? Do you expect rail work to be done at all in this session?
See, Vishnu, of course, real works would be done, but let's understand the shifts. The shift is that we have already entered into a new phase of politics, which will affect the performance across the spectrum. Now, people have talked about new BJP since Prime Minister Modi's centrality, but very less work and less attention has been attributed to the new Congress under Rahul Gandhi. Now he has accepted the LOP, but since he took the mantle, already a grand shift has happened wherein Congress is no more the centrist party what it used to be, the grand Madhya Marg that used to define it. In the last 5-7 years, you see a clear leftward shift happening. And today you find that new generation of left youths are not joining CPM or CPI. They are rather landing on the Congress platform. So that is why you see already we see a clear divide on the material as well as the cultural front. And that was clear in the manifesto of BJP and the Congress, wherein since 1990s, for the first time, BJP and Congress differed both economically also. So that is why when you have a clear incommensurable issues and narratives coming from the two prime parties, BJP and Congress, both economic and cultural, then the deliberative chamber should not be about just high on optics on the promise of cooperation, because people will talk at each other rather than talking to each other. So, of course, the work will be done. It will function. But we do expect that in coming days, it's going to be more acrimonious. Let's accept that. And that is something which is not centric to India. It is going to be a global discourse wherein the deliberative chambers are going to be more noisy, more confrontationist. And this is a reality which is going to acquire us kind of a new normal wherein both the parties, Treasury Bench and opposition, will learn to walk through.
All right, Sajjan Kumar, thank you very much for being with us. I'd like to thank our panelists very much. It is going to be a heated session of Parliament. I think it doesn't need a genius to know that it's going to be exactly that. Thank you all very much for being with us.